Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy without spot or wrinkle by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Was macht mich von Sünden rein, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Wo mag für mich Heilung sein, nur im Blut des Lammes Jesus. Oh, köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht, in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was erlöst mich von der Schuld, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was schenkt mir des Vaters Huld, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Oh, köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was versehnet mich mit Gott, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Was errettet aus der Not, nur das Blut des Lammes Jesus. Oh, köstlich ist die Flut, macht allen Schaden gut. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus. Hier meine Seele ruht in dem Blut des Lammes Jesus.
Over the years as a pastor, I have seen many interesting things changing in the Church of Jesus Christ. Many churches are leaving the simple gospel of the cross and are turning to a love gospel. We need to get along with everybody, they tell us. We need to agree with everybody. That is true love. That is true Christianity. That's what many will say. Many people don't have a clue what Christianity is. There are even those who claim there are a lot of Christians who do not believe in God. That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. How can somebody be a Christian and not believe in God? The Bible teaches us, those that love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So what is going on and what does God want from the church? When we study what Jesus did here on this earth, he made a simple statement that is very profound. He says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. So whatever God told Jesus to do, he did it. He was very faithful. And this goes also for those of us who are born again by the Spirit of God. If we do not operate in the power of the Holy Ghost, if we have our own agenda, if we do not seek information from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, on how to deal with things, then we are doing our own work. And there is a penalty for doing that. Even though we will not be judged for our sins at the Bema Seat of Christ, we will be judged on according to how we operated while we were here representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There are many religious organizations who go way back in their forefathers' teachings on how to appease God, how to please God, how to live for Him, how to do what Jesus did. But the Bible is very, very clear when it comes to doing what Jesus did. There is even a bracelet that has been passed out years ago, and the slogan was, "What would Jesus do?" Today I want to teach on this interesting subject, on what would Jesus do and how should we operate when it comes to operating in God's kingdom. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open our hearts to the truths of Scriptures. Help us to understand. Help us to see that the time is short. I thank you for your grace. I ask that you will anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 14 in verse 12, there's a scripture that goes like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, you will do greater works than I did, because I go unto my Father. For most of us, this seems to be impossible, but the Lord God said it, so that makes it very, very possible that we as a unit, as Christ ones, will do greater works than Jesus did. Yes, we will not be able to pay for the sin of the people, because that only Jesus can do. But the works that God wants us to do, these we can do. And what are the works of Jesus? What were they? I want to give you an example what the works of Jesus were. In Luke chapter 7 in verse 22, the disciples of John the Baptist came and asked if he was the one they were supposed to wait for. John sent them to ask the question. And Jesus answered them in Luke chapter 7 in verse 22. Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. What is Jesus telling John's disciples? This is how you can find proof that I am the one that God had sent. And this is how the Bible teaches us how the ones who are God's servant will be proven. It tells us that God will prove them with signs and wonders. When a person who is blind starts to see, that's a sign and a wonder. A lame walks. Those who can't walk start to walk. That's a sign and a wonder. The deaf start to hear. The dead are raised. The poor is the gospel preached. This is what the works of Jesus are. And he said, greater works will you do. Are we preaching the gospel? Are we praying for the sick? Are we in any way or form operating like Jesus operated. I know there are churches who are doing these things, but they are being mocked and ridiculed by the mainstream churches and by the mainstream media. Why are they mocked? Because they're following the footsteps of Jesus. They're being ridiculed. They're being ostracized. They are actually being called deceivers. Yes, this is what's happening. They are the ones that are doing the will of God, and many of the church world are ridiculing them. The Apostle Paul has a very interesting explanation for all of this when it comes to the church not doing the will of God and not operating in the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 10, it tells us this: according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, another built thereupon. Let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he tells us the beginning of living for God, walking for God, operating for God, you have to be on that foundation. And that starts with by believing that Jesus is your Messiah, that Jesus is your Savior. That's the foundation you have to get on. If you are not on that foundation, then you can raise the dead, you can heal the sick, you can give your money to the poor, you can burn yourself, sacrifice yourself, it will help you nothing. Unless you are upon that foundation. It is very clearly written, the only way that working for God or living for God will benefit you is if you are on that foundation. Now it tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Now if any man builds upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, once you become born again by the Spirit of God, once you are a new creation, then you are on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's when you start building on that foundation. So the question is, are you building on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones? Or are you building with wood, hay, or stubble? What's the difference? The difference is gold, silver, precious stones is done by working in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wood, hay, or stubble is doing your own thing, operating in the flesh, setting up religious organizations, operating through rules, laws, and regulations. That's wood, hay, or stubble. But being led by the Holy Spirit, operating through the power, healing the sick, praying for the sick, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, this is gold, silver, and precious stone. These things can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot cast out a demon by making some rule or regulation. You cannot pray for the, you cannot heal a blind man by praying for him through some religious prayer. You have to operate and pray through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot preach the gospel if you do not have the gospel in you, if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. Yes, you may be speaking the words, but the words are dead if they are not operated or given through the power of the Holy Spirit. I have heard preachers preach the gospel, and people didn't even notice that they were preaching the gospel because those preachers had absolutely no Spirit of God in them. And this is how it works in many church organizations. The pastors who are preaching the gospel are preaching without the Holy Spirit. So these churches are dead. They have no life. I know for a fact there are many religious organizations, even though they have the Word of God. People go to church year after year, Sunday after Sunday, and receive absolutely nothing when it comes to the wisdom and the revelation of the Holy Spirit. God says, this is wood, hay, and stubble. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, it tells us this, and if any man's work shall abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the good thing is, if you're on that foundation, even if you do build with wood, hay, or stubble, you yourself shall be saved. This is where the finished work of the cross really comes out. Even if you do not live for God, even if all your works will be burned off, you yourself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That is, if you are on that foundation. How beautiful is the gospel? As long as you can get into the kingdom, that's what I say. But to lose your crowns, it's not going to be a good feeling. Because it says if you build upon that foundation with gold, silver, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, you will receive a reward. And that reward is above and beyond your salvation. That's besides your salvation. What reward there is, I don't know. But God wants to give it to us. So if you are going to live for God on that foundation, if you're going to operate in the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, you will receive a reward. But if you are on that foundation and you do not operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, you shall suffer loss, even though you yourself shall be saved. So we need to pay attention to that, because God wants to give us that incredible gift that He has for us. And for those of you who are religious, trying to somehow please God by your religious exercises, and you're not on that foundation, that means if you're not born again, it will help you nothing. You will have to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. The Lord Jesus Himself says, even if when they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name or done that in your name? The Lord will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So for those who don't know Jesus, this is what they will hear. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So open up your heart to this interesting message and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Stay. Seelen bringen, keine einzige Garbe sehen. Jesus hat mich ja erlesen, mich schreckt nicht die Todesnacht, aber leer von ihm erscheinen, das ist, was mich traurig macht. Muss ich gehen mit leeren Händen, muss ich so vor Jesus stehen, kann ich keine Seele bringen, keine einzige Garbe sehen. Seelen für den Heiland, eh auf euch die Sonne sinkt. Muss ich gehen mit leeren Händen, muss ich so vor Jesus stehen, kann ich keine Seele bringen, keine einzige Garbe sehen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 15, it tells us, even if our works are burned off, we shall suffer loss, but we ourselves shall be saved. What a comfort to the born-again believer. Yes, we all know that we come short of following the commandments of God. Even those who don't even try, if they're saved, if they're born again by the Spirit of God, they will still be saved, yet so as by fire. And that means every wrong that you ever did will be burned off, and you will stand there by yourself. Whatever good you did for God will stand for you. So the Bible teaches us to seek the Lord and work for Him so that He can give us these crowns. But if you don't, then the Bible says, you, even though you don't, you shall still be saved. That is such an encouragement. It's not that I'm condoning that a person lives a life that is not pleasing to God. I'm just saying that even if you fail, you're still saved. You fight from victory and not for victory. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us that victory at the cross of Calvary. I want to speak to those people who are caught up in religion but are saved. God wants to set you free. It tells us in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. So here is a very good admonishment to those people who are still hanging on to religion, who I know for a fact that those who grew up in religion, it has been somehow branded into them. It has been it's been there since your youth, and it's so hard to get rid of. But when you put it against the Bible, you can see the error of it. So the Bible teaches us not to be led astray, not let no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of man. And that's what most religion is. It's traditions that have been passed on from generation to generation, and these traditions are held as godliness in many, many cases. You are complete in Christ. You are complete in Him. And God wants to set you free from your religion so that you can walk ahead, so you can walk forward in His will and not in the will of the religion that you're brought up in. For you are complete in Him. That's one of the most important things a Christian has to understand. We are complete in Christ Jesus. We don't owe no man anything when it comes to our salvation. It was Jesus who paid for the sin that we committed. Against God, we committed our sin, not against any preacher or priest. We sinned against God, and it's to Jesus we go to ask for forgiveness. Yes, of course, if you hurt somebody, then you need to go make it right. But if the sins you have committed are committed against God, then it's to God you go to ask for forgiveness. You don't go to a preacher. You don't go to a priest. I know the Catholics, they've been practicing this since their start. They had to go and confess to the priest. Jesus is the one that we sinned against, and it's to Him we go and confess. And once we do that, we can be guaranteed forgiveness. And once that happens, you understand and know that you are free from the clutches of Satan, because the Lord Jesus Christ not only forgives the sin you committed, He forgives all those that you are going to commit. So for those of you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing out on a very good deal. This deal will never be repeated in history again. Once this dispensation of time is finished, once God closes the door, then it's over. You cannot come back to the Lord. You cannot try to repent of your sin. It is finished. Today is the day where you harden not your heart. Today is the day where you come to Christ. So turn to Him before it's too late. For we are fast running out of time. Jesus is about to come back for His bride. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.